start, I just wanted to say I'm also shamelessly proud of my ability to draw polyhedra. And any time that Conway's ready for a showdown at OK Corral, I'm game. So here's the front inside page of what must probably still be the most important book on the subject of regular polytopes, simply called Regular Polytopes. And I'm going to talk today about the man who helped illustrate that book, Paul Donchin. And I'll just read some of this. Paul Donchin was an American of Armenian descent. His great-grandfather was a jeweler of the court of the Sultan of Turkey. And many of his other ancestors were Oriental jewelers and handicraftsmen. He was born in Hartford, Connecticut in 1895, same year as Buckminster Fuller, by the way. His mathematical training ended with high school geometry. Hang on a second. And algebra. He was always interested in scientific subjects. He inherited the rug business established by his father and operated since 1920. About the age of 30, he suddenly began to experience a number of startling and challenging dreams of the previsionary type, soon to be described by Dunn in Experiment with Time, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go through the whole thing, but he was a really interesting guy, and he keeps coming up in my life. It's a long story, but his name kept coming up, and I have managed to collect various materials from various people, including Professor Coxeter and also his brother, Dick Donchin, who's passed away since then, and other people. And it's kind of a treasure hunt, and I found all sorts of materials about him. It's really, the more I find out, the more I want to know. And I know there's other places I can find materials, maybe, and I'm going to keep looking, and maybe someday I'll do a book about it. Do I push menu to start the video or just video? I don't remember. Standby? Okay. Oh, can you turn off all the lights? Thanks. This is Paul Donchin. This is a portrait that Professor Coxeter sent to me. He sent me his whole file on Donchin, which I thought was really generous. And it's signed, it doesn't show it here, but it's signed to Donald from Paul Donchin, Christmas 1934. These are the plates from regular polytopes. He not only did polytopes, but polyhedra. But polyhedra are polytopes. They're just three-dimensional ones. And for anybody who doesn't know about that, a polygon is a two-dimensional polytope. A polyhedron is three-dimensional. Anything over three is n-dimensional, so 4D poly or whatever. These are all made of paper. They're usually painted gold or silver. These are zonahedra, which can be regarded as projections of n-dimensional cubes, n being the number of zones. And a zone is just a band of parallel edges that go around. A zonahedron has parallel edges on all its polygon faces. And those are quite beautiful, that set there. These are all on display at the, were on display at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. These are some wire models of various polytopes. Some are perspective projections, some are parallel. This is the 600 cell, and he did at least, I think, three projections of this. You can do point first, cell first, edge first, or polygon first. First meaning in the very middle, and also meaning the one closest to you. If you're a four-dimensional being looking at it, if Can everyone see? Am I standing up in front of the screen? Because I can sit down. More projections of the 600 cell. These were extremely difficult to make, and I think he spent 2 years on one of the 600 cells. This is the 120 cell. This is the piece that is up hanging now. It has 120 dodecahedra, four around each corner, and thereby it's a regular polytope. You can see that it looks like all the edges are doubled up, and there's a trace of perspective in there, and the central dodecahedron is the one closest to you and also the one furthest away. And this thing of splitting the vertices is kind of distracting, and that's what Professor Coxeter was talking about. It's just easier to ignore the back half of the thing, and it makes it much more clear to see. This is the threefold axis of symmetry, and that's fivefold. This is at the Century of Progress exhibition in Chicago in 1933 or 34. That's a close-up. There's the 120 cell in the middle there, and it's flanked by a couple of 600 cells. There's some of his polyhedra. There's Professor Coxeter at the opening of when these models were moved to the Franklin Institute after after Donchin died in 1967, his brother helped pay for getting these models at the Franklin. The Franklin is in Philadelphia. Here's some pictures of the exhibit. Here's some of the zonahedra set, which are now sitting in a locker at the Franklin Institute away from anyone's sight, which I think is a shame. And I've been bugging them for years to try to put them back on display. We'll see what we can do about that. And like the one on the left is probably like, it's got to be at least a 20-dimensional cube, just the outer shell. But all the whole inside is divided up into edges, of which there are a huge number. So these are, in a way, simplified models. You could never possibly build a 20-dimensional cube because the number of corners is 2 to the number of dimensions. So a 2 to the 20th is a huge amount of corners, and there's just no way anyone would bother to build such a thing. This is a projection of a 7-dimensional cross polytope, a 600 cell, which is a 4-dimensional icosahedron, by the way, and it has 20 tetrahedral cells around each vertex. And they don't look very regular in this, but that's because these are 3-dimensional shadows of a 4-dimensional objects. This is from a press release for the Franklin's opening of the exhibit, and that woman looks a little cross-eyed, and it's like you stare into the fourth dimension too long, that's what happens. This is a very old picture of the from a box of stuff that Donchin's brother gave me, and this was probably taken by Donchin himself. This is the zonahedra set again. This is in Donchin's house. That's the 120 cell. And I love the little dog in the corner on the right there. And I got another picture. He hasn't moved. He's in exactly the same position, just staring at Donchin, wondering why he's more interested in that object than in him. Okay. And I'm going to show some transparencies next here. This is the Hartford Courant in 1935, when he did his exhibit at the in Chicago at the Century of Progress. And there's some really fun stuff in here, like P.S. Donchan opens door to a fairyland of pure sciences. Wire and cardboard models explain highest mathematics. And if you look at the right, it says enthralled thousands of Chicago. But Einstein was barred from exhibit at fair, lest crowds crush him and models. Which I thought was really funny. That's in a blow up of it. See? And they actually, I have several of these different newspaper clippings of press he got at various times, and it's funny how the reporters put a spin on things, trying to make it funny. And like, for instance, the fascination with Fort's mention, the models were photographed so often in the hands of pretty girls and pictures published to the tune of such two-edged remarks by caption writers that Mr. Donchan himself reported a confusion as to who or what were the Donchan models. They actually snuck Einstein in afterwards. One person who didn't see him was Albert Einstein. He was kept out of the building. This is not due to any hidden schism in the ranks of science or because eminent professor was any way unqualified, but solely to protect him and the models from the crush that would appear. He was sneaked into the building after dark and had an opportunity to view only part of the show. Here's something from the New York Times. Christian Science Monitor. Oh, that's a closer view of the same picture. Here's another good one. He's showing the model to Miss Margaret Pearsall of Bergenstown, one of the thousands of visitors show, but when he showed her the 600 cell, which took 2 years to build and is most complicated so far devised, she decided the fourth dimension was pretty complex. Here's just another one. Here's another funny thing, a reporter putting his little funny line in there, you know. That's Paul Donchan holding the bigger model. And he also exhibited at Harvard and various other places. This is from the Armenian Mirror. I think he was very involved in his, you know, his own culture here in America. And I also have, I didn't bring it, but from the Carpet and Upholstery Review, because he was a rug dealer, an article about him. I have a lot of his drawings and notes and so on. And he says, how my book should begin. And he goes, point, line, cube, and then after the cube, what, with a question mark. I just really like that. These are off of two really small pieces of paper. They're just like stationary for places he was staying. So the Yale Club and a place called the Lookout in Maine. And these are beautiful pencil drawings. They're very small. And he was constantly drawing and writing. And I got a huge box of this stuff. I couldn't possibly show it all. These are really beautiful hypercubes. Let's see, it's... I don't know how many dimensions that is. Let's see. Yeah, maybe seven-dimensional. Another one. These are pencil drawings. The dark lines are ink, but the other ones were pencil, mechanical pencil. More pencil drawings. Polytopes. He also dabbled a lot in tessellations, and here's some star things. He was trying to do the same thing on the sphere, and so he was messing with that on that soccer ball up top there, trying to make similar tessellations to what's on the bottom on a sphere. This is a 600 cell, part of one. His writing was impossibly small. That's big for his writing. Some of it was amazingly small, and I can barely read it. Some packings of polyhedra. This is some more. He liked to try to find tessellations that weren't in any books, so he was dabbling a lot in that. I also have, these are some fold-up patterns for some of his solids. And I have many pages of these drawings for the fold-up patterns, plus I also have the templates that he used to make the models that I showed you earlier. And I got that stuff from a big box of stuff from Dick Donch and his brother, who's since passed away, and that stuff was in a garage when I went to see him, and if I hadn't gone to see him, that stuff would have been thrown away. So I'm really glad I went to see him. This is some eight-dimensional stuff. I think these are simplexes in various dimensions, simplex being analogs of the tetrahedron. And a simplex is basically you take a bunch of points and connect every one to every other one. And there's a relationship, I forget what the formula is, of the number of points you're connecting and the dimension that you're in. These are all shadows in two dimensions of those simplexes. And those are pencil drawings. This is another stab at finding tessellations that no one had seen before. And here you have this really neat shield-shaped hexagon with regular hexagons. Some more tessellation stuff. Again, trying to find ones that weren't in any book. This is a... It could be regarded as a projection into the plane of a polar zonahedron, which is a 3D shape. It's also part of a 7-dimensional cube. Here's some polyhedron drawings. I'm going fast because I got a lot of this stuff. Okay. And he was really imaginative. I wish he really had finished this book that he was working on. I think the problem was he kept discovering new things and never had time to finish it. But it says here, like phases of the moon. And what you're looking at here is as a cube is passed through a plane. It's first, it's a point, then it's a triangle that grows and turns into a regular hexagon, and then you get a hexagon, again, that's irregular but pointed the other way to in relation to these, and then the triangles that are pointed in relation the other way. And eventually it shrinks down to nothing and disappears again. And these are called sections. And you can do that with polytopes, too. You can pass them through our three-dimensional space and... learn to understand the object by its cross sections, but I just really love this like phases of the moon thing. That's really brilliant. This is Dick Donchin, the brother of Paul Donchin, at the exhibit that he helped make sure it happened for his brother. And he was really helpful, and he's a sweet guy. It turned out I found him, I can't say all the twists and turns in this story of finding all this stuff out, but one of Donchin's relatives, or no, someone at the rug shop, which only cleaned rugs, at when I called, after he had died, told me that his brother was still alive and he was a big shot at Sherson Lehman Hutton. He was a vice president and he was in Who's Who in America. So I looked in Who's Who America and I managed to find the guy. This is at the Franklin Institute. This is the 120 cell that Donchin had made. You can see it's in really bad shape. It's all bent and I'm not sure they even displayed it. And now they don't know where it is, which is unfortunate. But, you know, that happens when you're running a museum. This is Dick Donchin again. Dick really admired his brother. It was his older brother. He was the younger brother, and he didn't understand what he was doing, but he really admired him. This is really funny. Paul was part of the Hartford Engineers Club, and he was a president at one time of it. And after he was president and someone else took over, they have this past president's night. And he did a lecture called You in the Fourth Dimension. And this is really hysterically funny here. Let's see. As part of this program, we announced You in the Fourth Dimension, a short, non-technical exposition by Paul Donchin. It's a fascinating subject. Unfortunately, after Carol Lawton had already completed the arrangements, he had the occasion to mention the matter to certain others in the inner circle with results far from satisfactory. A disgusting, reactionary, and undignified attitude was revealed by the following replies, which is reported Carol received. And these people who are part of the Engineers Club did these little poems or something. So T. Clay Lindsley said, "Fourth dimension, I declare, newfangled ideas everywhere. What in Hades does it mean? I must confess you've got me there." Another one says, "Fourth dimension, what do you mean? Craziest notion I'd ever seen. If you ask me, we should stick to reading, writing, arithmetic." Another guy says, "Fourth dimension, humph and har, length and breadth and height is all there are. If he don't shut up, he'll have me thinking that he's a crank or else been drinking." And then another one says, "The fourth dimension, what on earth? The very thought fills me with mirth. For millions of years, there's been plenty enough to fill this world with plenty of stuff. Fourth dimension, I'll be blowed from here to China. If anyone knowed a place like that to aim a gun to, I'm the man to have showed it unto. Fourth dimension, God Almighty, do you ever hear anything so flighty? We can't let him get away with this. When he starts to talk, let's boo and hiss." There's a couple more. "Fourth dimension, did you ever? If he can prove it, he'd be damn clever. But although it's Greek to me, I'll not let on. No, no, never." And this one, maybe my favorite. "The fourth dimension, what the hell does this guy think he's trying to sell? His line is rugs and nothing more. I think he'd better stick to the floor." Anyway, there's a lot of stuff, and I'm still working on the story, but hopefully someday you'll see either a website or a book about him. And just in closing here, this is from 2-year college mathematics journal, and they had an article called "Is Geometry Dead?" And they have an interview with Coxeter, and there's a bunch of cartoons in there. And here's Coxeter the toddler reading stock reports, which I guess must be based on what's in the interview. And this, I don't know if you remember this, it was for some broker. It says, "My geometric broker is HSM Coxeter," and Coxeter says, and everyone's like, and if anyone has had any worries that geometry is dead, it is most assuredly not, and one of the big reasons is Professor Coxeter. And this is my favorite, this cartoon from the same thing, and here we have Coxeter, king of geometry, and he most assuredly is, and I want to thank him personally for being a big inspiration in my life. And and here's something really interesting from, this is in the front of regular polytopes, and these are quotes from the Bible. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. And then the second one says, that ye, being grounded and rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is breadth and length and depth and height. Now, I can count, and that's four dimensions. Now, maybe they know something we don't. And lastly, this is a plaque. This is the artwork for a plaque that I we're going to put up with the piece. Here's the plaque. So happy birthday, Donald. You know, he may have. I have so much writing, most of which I haven't translated yet because it's so small. He may have. But I think mostly he just did something about it and decided to explore the fourth dimension or whatever. And it's funny because this book, Experiment with Time, that was the inspiration, is not about four space dimensions. Time.